Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text upon which we base the meditation is the epistle lesson from Hebrews. We'll read the last three verses, which is the basis of it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text this morning speaks about self-discipline. Self-discipline and then running the race of life. Running that race to win. But if we're going to win the race of life, if we're going to receive the crown of life, the crown of glory from God, then we must run with endurance. We can't give up halfway through the race and get sidetracked and go off on the wrong course. Now, in order to prevent those things from happening, a runner who is in a race will practice for many days, and as we know in the Olympics, they practice for years. Their coach is with them. If the coach notices something that is distracting the runner, he'll have them do extra practice or in other ways try to get him to avoid those distractions in the future. And the race for salvation is very similar to an Olympic race. We are in the race with God as our coach. And God stands by to help us. He stands by to strengthen and encourage us in this race. If we falter or if we begin to neglect the training that God has for us, he will discipline us. Not as a punishment, but he disciplines us in order to strengthen us and encourage us to get rid of the things that hinder us, so that we can finish the race and receive the crown of life. However, we have to admit that very often we tend to neglect God. And while we have that sincere desire and we pray that God would take us to himself in heaven, we often grow weary and get tired of the race. And occasionally we sort of say it's just not worth it anymore. And we give up. It's much easier to follow the devil, the way of the world, than it is to follow God. We take the easy way out for a time. But that shouldn't be the case. Instead, if we're going to run the race, God wants us to run the race with determination. Run it with all of our might, that we can receive in the end the crown of life at the end of the course. And the nice thing about the race to heaven is that there are many winners. Anyone who finishes the course is a winner. If we finish the course of the race in faith, then we are a winner. Not just one winner as in the Olympics, but all of us are winners if we finish the course in faith and love and trust in our God all the way through. But it does demand endurance. It does still demand encouragement and courage. It demands that anything that hinders us or slows us down or sidetracks us, that we get rid of those things. We're to lay aside all of our sin, every weight that tends to hinder us in our race. Now, the writer to Hebrews was very familiar with the ancient Olympic games that our modern games are patterned after. And he knew that the runners in those ancient races went through a lot of practice, a lot of training, just as our runners and Olympic people do today. But he also knew that they set aside anything that would tend to hinder them or to slow them down. And so the runners in the ancient Olympic Games, they ran in the nude. They got rid of all the clothing that they wore, because it would tend to weigh them down and tended to hinder them. Now today, we don't run in the nude, but we have very specialized clothing so that it doesn't slow them down for every race and thing that they're in. It's designed to make sure that the clothing is not a hindrance or does not add to their weight. And so the race to heaven is the same way. We must get rid of all those things that hinder us, that slow us down, that handicap us. And so God says, the cares and the troubles of this world, you know, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? God says, don't worry about those things. He knows that we have need of those things. God will provide them. Lay those cares at Jesus' feet. And he says, our sins, all that evil and sin that we do, rebellion against God. God says, get rid of that. Lay that on the cross of Jesus. Jesus is going to carry those sins for us. He's going to pay the debt of those sins for us and has done it already by his death on the cross. And so we need to get rid of those sins. Lay them on Jesus. Repent of them and turn them over to Jesus so that we are freed of those sins to be able to live and to serve God. But in order to do that, we need to get rid of all of our sins and lay all of them at Jesus' feet. But you and I, we have usually a little bit of a problem with that. You and I probably each have what I would call a pet sin. You know, that one little sin, it may not seem all that big or important at times, but the devil knows about it. And he knows how to get us to fall for that pet sin day after day, week after week. About the time we think we're getting close to God, he causes that pet sin to rear up again and to trap us once again. And that pet sin can be all sorts of things. Each of us, it's different. It might be a bad temper. It might be that we're sort of a nag. It might be that we're a procrastinator. It might be that we tend to argue a lot. But the devil knows whatever that weakness is. It might be lust. It might be love of money. But we need to get rid of that pet sin and lay it at Jesus. At times it might seem, well, it's really not that important. It's not that significant. It doesn't hurt anybody. It doesn't cause any real trouble. But the devil knows what our pet sin is. And he knows that if he can get us to fall for it today and next week, slowly but surely he's going to wear us down on the sidetracks of life and lead us astray so that we fall and fail to finish the race with Jesus Christ. So we need to keep our eye on the cross of Christ. Keep your eye totally on Jesus Christ. And so run the race that God has given to us. Run it without deviating, without getting sidetracked by the devil into these false sins and false ideas that he would have us look at. Jesus is the example to follow. Told on this earth, he had every sin tempted just as you. His human flesh, his human nature was tempted in every sin just like you and I have been tempted. But Jesus did not fall for those sins. He overcame those sins. And he did it because he kept his eye on the goal of finishing his course without sin so that he could pay the debt of our sin, that he could die in our place, so that he could be seated at the right hand of God and then welcome each of us into glory with our Savior Jesus Christ. And so he wasn't ashamed to endure the cross. He knew that cursed was everyone that hangs upon the tree. But he also was willing to endure that curse of the cross in order that he might obtain for us forgiveness and life and salvation. He was willing to endure the hardships, the persecutions, the mockings, the cursings, the rebuke of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the rejection of the people that he came to actually forgive and to bring salvation to. He was willing to endure all of that in order that he could run the race of life and gain for us salvation and forgiveness of our sins. And so now you and I need to keep our eyes on Jesus so we don't grow weary, don't grow faint-hearted. We need to remain strong in our faith and our hope and trust in God. We've not yet been called, as our text says, to endure unto the death. We haven't been called upon to be martyrs for our faith at this time. And yet we have many martyrs, many people who have gone before us in the faith, who did give their life rather than deny God. We think of Stephen. We think of all the apostles. We think of the multitude of martyrs since then, even the martyrs in other countries today that die for their faith rather than deny their love of Jesus Christ. And so the race before us is a tough race, but God wants us to not grow weary, not to fall into the pitfalls of the devil, but instead remember that God loves us and he will discipline us if we fall into sin. The discipline is a call to repentance. At times we endure hardships and sickness and other things in our life. They're not there to destroy our faith, but they are there to remind us of God's love and for us to repent of the sins and turn to God once again, seeking his love. And so thank God when hardships come to remind us of sin and encourage us once again to set your eyes on the cross of Jesus Christ. And so endure that cross that we might obtain the final glory. Glory with our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so love God. Keep your eyes on the crown of love that God has for us, the crown of life. And so let us run the race so that we might win it and all rejoice with our Savior in heaven one day. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Service will continue as we bring our offerings to the Lord.